2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
All right. What's up, everybody? Loving that intro, Season Long says. Good stuff right there.
Those that suite of video tools that you bought for me. So you can let me, tinker with our production value.
Stepping it up. We are back. DFS Army Bold Calls, Season Long Fantasy Football Podcast, my passion. And today we're taking a look at Fantasy Fallout we're continuing our look at Fantasy Fallout from the 2020 draft. This time, we're looking at the NFC East and the NFC North. We're going to go through each team's draft and just kind of look at fantasy fallout for that team. Who it affects, not just the rookies, but also the current players on those teams. There have been some trades. There are lots of things that happened. So let's get right into it. How are you feeling, Season Long says? We're in some best ball leagues and getting some draft action going right now. How are you feeling so far about the way this offseason's going?
Oh man, offseason is like one of my favorite times. I love thinking about and analyzing what's to come, kind of unlocking the puzzle, filling in the pieces, and then, you know, we get the big reveal when the season comes. But this is the fun part. The work is done now. It's a little bit of a grind once the season comes. So yeah, man, this is my favorite part, trying to speculate, take all the signals, all the smoke signals, part the noise away, and talk to you about what we think is going to happen.
I love it. So let's just jump right into it. We've already covered the entire AFC, and now we're moving on to the NFC. We're going to go team by team, NFC East, NFC North, for this episode. Look at each team's draft and just try to understand the fantasy fallout. So we're going to start with the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East. Big rivals to my local New York Giants here. And they had a really interesting draft, starting with there were a team that was certainly desperate for wide receiver help coming out of the season. They just have no one. Alshon Jeffrey is pretty much finished. Nelson Aguilar, we can agree he was a bust.
He's gone, yeah. I mean, Las Vegas signed him.
That's fine, but he was a bust anyway with the team. He just never put it together, never paid off on his draft equity. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you know, we have hopes for him still. Played injured last year. Some thoughts there, but there's a couple intriguing picks. Obviously, Jalen Reagor, wide receiver, picked 21st overall. Tell me about this guy. He was a bit of a surprise early in the draft. There were some other names that were a little bit more sort of talked about. So tell me about Jalen Reagor and what could we expect from him and who are the NFL comparables?
Okay, so let's start by saying that I'm not as hot on Reagor as some are, and I think the consensus is with me. Usually I try not to be with the consensus. I try to find that point, but Jalen Reagor has his hive of fans. Like, he was thought of as the wide receiver, as high as wide receiver one in this class by some people. Like, respectable analysts that have good takes, and it's not a bad take, but there are people that are all in on Jalen Reagor. They think this is the greatest pick. They have him as the wide receiver two in this class for fantasy purposes. So I like Reagor. I just, he had a lot of drops at TCU. He's certainly fast, and he's got the draft capital now, and he certainly fits in well with what the Eagles are trying to do. So I respect the draft capital. I thought for sure he was going to be a real-life second-round pick. I thought maybe that the Jaguars would get him in the second round. But, hey, we are where we are right now. You have to respect. He's a good, fast receiver. It looks like there's no obstacle to opportunity. He does the things that the other players on that team don't do. I mean, I put out a video today on J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I think that, I still believe in him, but he's a touchdown catcher. The two tight ends that they have there, Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz, they work the middle of the field. Jalen Reagor is probably not only deserves top three or four wide receiver in fantasy for the rookies. I think he deserves a redraft consideration, considering he's going to probably get at least 95 targets.
Listen, to project targets for a rookie is difficult.
But 95 is not a lot.
I mean, it's his job there. I mean, it's his job there to replace Alshon Jeffrey.
No, his job there is to works the middle of the field well, but he could do what DeSean Jackson does.
Okay, he's the speedster. So, but DeSean Jackson's still there. So we do have to see what happens with him. Jackson getting older, but with Rager being a speedster type, you're saying
yes.
So you know that projects to help Carson Wentz a little bit out, just an extra weapon. I don't know. We'll have to see what he does this year. I don't know that he'll be drafted long before the last round of your season long redraft league, but
But in best ball, like you're going to see that he's going to go in like round nine, right? He'll be like one of the first rookies taken because of the perceived opportunity.
Absolutely. And I do like that in best ball leagues where obviously we don't need production from day one. We just need any production at some point along the way. Now, interestingly, I mentioned Carson Wentz. The Eagles took a quarterback in round two in Jalen Hurts. Really interesting pick here. Wentz has a history of being injured. And so what is the Hurts pickup bode for Carson Wentz? Is this just a little bit of insurance in case he gets hurt again? Or is Hurts a guy that could actually ascend on this team even without a serious injury to Wentz?
It was funny to see all the Eagle fans on tilt after, you know, they took a QB in the second round. And,
no one wants a backup with your second round pick. Like,
right. But I mean, it to me, this is what I took from it. First of all, I was of the opinion it was actually a good pick because Jalen Hurts, you know, he projects. I know a lot of people say, oh, you can't project him like Lamar Jackson. He's not the athlete. You are correct. But I think a more apt comparison for how they're going to use him is probably Taysom Hill. And you have a high-end level backup, a super athlete, should Carson Wentz go down. But the comparison that I think is better for Jalen Hurts is more like David Garrard. Now, again, that's not like, oh my God, great. But David Garrard was a good prospect. I think he was a mobile QB that could throw the ball. Now, after what we saw with Lamar Jackson going and blowing the league up, a lot of GMs are going to be like, hey, I want a guy that can run, an athlete that can run and throw the football. Jalen Hurts is a good football player. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. And I think we're going to see him on the field as a running back throwing the football and certainly as the backup quarterback. So he's going to be used as an offensive weapon in our redraft leagues, Geek. I'm not sure he's a good pick, but it's going to be really interesting to see where he goes in rookie super flex leagues.
Yeah, that will be interesting. I don't expect it to be very high, but he'll, you know, fifth round.
Where do you think he'll go? I think he'll go in rookie super flex leagues.
Yeah.
I think someone takes the plunge in the second round.
We shall see. All right. Yeah. The only other real offensive pick of interest here, I guess, is John Hightower, wide receiver out of Boise State.
He's good, but and then also the running back, Michael Warren, is a good just kind of pick up after your rookie draft is over. Michael Warren, if there's a couple injuries, Boston Scott, because, you know, these are guys that just undrafted free agents that you could pick up. They're guys.
Nothing of interest here. Yeah, they won't have any effect on this.
If we're going to hit all these teams, let's just keep moving.
Yeah, we'll move on to, obviously, our focus is the top picks here, and we move on to the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Now, the one thing that the Cowboys didn't need, besides maybe like a high-level running back, was another wide receiver. They've got a lot of talent in that area. And yet, they went with CeeDee Lamb, pick number 17, fell into their lap. That's really the only offense that the Cowboys took. And so, I mean, what does it do for the value of Dak? What does it do for the value of Amari? What does it do for the value of Zeke? Blake Jarwin? That whole crew. A lot of effect here, and the biggest might be just the whole wide receiver core getting a bit of a downgrade with Dak, getting a bit of a straight upgrade. What say you, Season Long says?
Yeah, I mean, I moved Dak up from 4 to 3 in my rankings. Obviously, two QBs that you have ahead of him are going to be Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes, but Dak is squarely my 3. And not just because they picked CeeDee Lamb, but it's just that Dak is a running quarterback that usually gets you 2 to 4 rushing touchdowns a year. They have Zeke. They have a good offensive line. And now they have weaponry all over the field. And the defense isn't that good. And as you know, as a DFS guy, you want to target teams like that. I just don't see a way that Dak could fail other than, you know, some sort of freak injury. I mean, this and they didn't need that pick, but I think Jerry Jones is haunted that he passed on Randy Moss because he didn't need a wide receiver, and he regretted that. And when CeeDee Lamb was the highest prospect on their board, he pounced. That was smart to do. There were 16 blue chip players in this draft, and when the Falcons screwed up and took AJ Terrell, who was some people had as a third round grade on him just to fill a need, they took a cornerback. Jerry Jones got instant wood in his pants, man. He's like, whoa, I'm going to get one of the blue chip guys. I'm in. And I think it was a smart pick. Don't you?
Yeah, I don't mind the pick at all. Also because it's just a lot cheaper to have a guy like CeeDee Lamb on your team for the next 5 years. They just paid Amari Cooper. There might be some regrets about paying him all that money, considering now maybe he's not as necessary, but maybe that avoids paying, I always forget his name, Galloway.
Mike Gallup.
Yeah, Gallup. Yeah, I always get him in Galloway. Gallup. But maybe it allows him to avoid paying Mike Gallup in a couple of years. And, you know, it just helps the entire team. The biggest threat to me for Dak production, because you mentioned that, is how good Zeke is or isn't. When Zeke's play is down, Dak's play goes up. When Zeke's play goes up, Dak's play goes down a little bit because Zeke hogs all the tutties. So that to me is the biggest threat to his production. But Zeke kind of fell off a little last year.
Let's keep in mind also it's a new coach, Mike McCarthy. And what did Mike McCarthy's Packers do for many years? They threw on the goal line. They didn't always run up the gut. It was a lot of Aaron Rodgers throwing to his big wide receivers when they got down to the 2, the 3.
And so, to the running back. Throwing.
That's my point. Like, Mike McCarthy teams have generally thrown inside the 5-yard line with a good quarterback. So, again, we don't know. It's going to be a new offense. I mean, do you think that Dak is warranted of the QB3 in redraft?
Yeah, I think he's the comfortable QB3. There's discussion between him and Kyler Murray, but I think you go with Dak. He's a more known quantity. And also Murray's weapons are not as good. Like, I like Kyler Murray very much. I like the legs. I think he's a great fourth play off the board, but he doesn't have the weaponry that Dak has. He just does not have the same amount of weaponry. He has great weapons, but it's just Dak is just so overloaded. Everywhere you turn, there's a fucking stud to throw to. So that's a little different than what Arizona has going on.
Being that this is a rookie focused pod, what are you doing with CeeDee in both dynasty rookie and what are you doing with him in redraft?
Very good question. So CeeDee Lamb, unfortunately, this landing spot was pretty bad for him from a redraft perspective. And a little bit for rookie, the talent is going to be there. So if you're willing to wait, and most people should be when you're drafting a wide receiver, it's going to take a couple of years for CeeDee Lamb to potentially emerge as the top guy on that team. I think, you know, 2-3 seasons down the road, he could be a super stud and Amari Cooper could have moved on to some other place, could be cut. So his career arc will be very good, but I think you have to drop him down in your rookie draft, certainly behind most, if not all, of the sort of elite tier of running backs, and probably not the first wide receiver on my board, even though I think he's a lot of talent. Listen, I think you've got to really think through the situations. Jerry Jeudy, you know,
he's in a crowded situation too, man.
It's not as great as you would hope. Listen, some of the best situations, and this is the problem, the best wide receiver situations are the later picks. So, I mean, I don't have the list in front of me to like make an evaluation, but some of the later picks were much better situations. Well, like the Michael Pittmans of the world and some of these guys that went to teams.
But you're not
going to
take those.
You're not going to move ahead.
Yeah.
No.
So, but here's the situation. Here's also, remember, and I told you this offline today, remember when Julio Jones was drafted and everyone was saying, oh, Roddy White's there. It's a bad situation for Julio Jones. Julio Jones is going to be the number 2 or number 3. And they also had Tony Gonzalez at the time, too. And everyone's like, oh, Tony Gonzalez, he's a target hog. And Roddy White, Julio Jones is a bit. And by like game 5, it was obvious that Julio Jones was going to be a Mount Rushmore wide receiver. I mean, Julio Jones ends up being one of the top 3 wide receivers of all time. And I hate to say this because you don't want to compare someone to the best guys ever, but CeeDee Lamb profiles as an elite prospect. And I think it's going to become obvious and quickly that he's going, you know, I'm not saying he's going to blow up for redraft, but I would heavily consider him after the 4 elite running backs in dynasty drafts. And
I'll throw this one thought at you. The dynasty leagues are filled with the tiers of former elite wide receiver prospects that did not pan out. So you could, we could call him elite all day. You know who else was elite? Corey Davis. Who else?
I said an elite prospect.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All of these elite prospects, the failure rate is astounding. I mean, first round wide receiver, top play, pick off the board.
Yeah,
well, he failed at a spectacular rate. Yep. That's Henry Ruggs, but I mean, they failed at a spectacular rate. This is not a, there's no certainty when you're picking a wide receiver in your dynasty rookie draft. I don't give a fuck who he is.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, we got to keep it moving. Make sure you're pacing us properly here so we can get done.
There we go. All right, let's roll. My beloved, not really, I'm a Jets fan, but my local New York Giants did not do much to improve their offense outside of taking some tackles and helping the offensive line. Andrew Thomas, pick number 4, a monster. And then in the third round, they picked up another tackle in Matt. So tell me how this affects their team in a positive way.
By the way, you're clicking and screeching all over the place. Can you just turn your mic maybe to face you a little bit more? And if you don't mind, just and watch your it's probably your headphones are like a little bit there. Just go. But anyway, move on.
It could just be my throat and got a little bit.
No. All right, that's good. It's fine. Just make sure your mic is right here so the people at home that are fully engaged could hear you.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Anyway, so you asked about the Giants. The Giants took a tackle. I mean, the Giants had like the perfect boring draft. Like literally, they took their skill players over the last 2 years. They got Saquon Barkley. They found a gem in Darius Slayton. They have Daniel Jones, who you and I both loved right off the bat. We thought it was a great pick when everyone was yelling Haskins. So we're gonna take credit for that one. The skill players are there. Golden Tate, as boring and as horrible as he is a amazing football player and is a perfect security blanket. We like Evan Engram when he's healthy. And if we don't, who do we like to back him up? Who came
Caden
on last
Smith,
year?
Baby, Caden.
Caden Smith came on and looks like a star. So we like him as well. All right.
Case Mizzles.
So
need a nickname for him. Like Cade Rock. K-Rock. All right, we'll figure something out for Caden Smith.
Yeah. All right, turn that gain down because you're cracking every time you talk, but it's it. Anyway, so that sets up perfectly for the Giants. I like the Giants as a bounce back team. I like their offense this year. Nothing doing on the rookie front, so we won't spend too much time. But I think that what they did was fortify their team enough for their rookies to produce. Barkley again got hurt last year. Evan Engram was hurt last year. I think Daniel Jones is squarely in my top 10 in redraft, certainly in dynasty. You know, I'll have Daniel Jones ahead of Tom Brady and that tier as well. Like he'll be my QB10 ahead of Matt Ryan. He'll be right there neck and neck with Aaron Rodgers.
Couldn't agree more. Love the Giants.
Sound better, by the way. Sound
love. Oh, there we go. Turned it down. Love the Giants offense as a whole across the board. The help at offensive line is most definitely going to help Saquon Barkley do a little bit more. Their offensive line really, really had some issues last season. Certainly, the return of Evan Engram, the emergence of Caden Smith as a potential secondary weapon last year, and, you know, Danny Dimes coming back on a second year, a little more experience. All of that just bodes well. Lift up the entirety of the Giants offense for draft purposes. To where, I mean, I think it doesn't even matter. Saquon Barkley is the consensus number 2 pick in your draft when you're drafting the season, unless it's some sort of super flex situation where you have to weigh the quarterbacks. And I think Darius Slayton is probably one of the best sleepers on the entire board. He's a WR3. He's a guy that you'll get as your first or second bench pick and a guy that you're going to be really, really excited to have. So definitely a situation that we're gonna look forward to here going forward with the Giants. Let's move on to the next team on the docket here. NFC East, Washington Redskins.
Ooh, now, a lot of goodies here.
Little goodies laid in here. So a Redskins, like a team with no wide receivers on the roster. No.
What are you talking about? They drafted.
They had no one before the draft.
Oh, okay. They had Terry McLaurin was on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right. Scary Terry. I forgot about Terry. But they've added some wide receivers. That's right. Actually, Terry's great, man. How the fuck did I forget him? Jeez. What am I thinking? But they have added some talent here. Second round pick, Antonio Gibson. Fourth round pick, a guy I know you like a lot, Antonio Gandy-Golden. Then some offensive line help with Keith Ismael.
How'd you know I like him? How'd you know?
I've heard you mention the name Gandy-Golden. Yeah. It's like a fucking name that you can't forget.
Yeah, no, he's I see him rated as like rookie like 40 in a lot of these drafts. I have him in my squarely in my top 24.
There we go. Second round, but you might be able to get him in that third round. This is a guy that I might be picking up in these leagues that I keep winning. And I got 212.
You do not have the nuts to take him at 211 in that one league. If you don't take him at 211, I'm taking him at 212. So I guarantee you will chicken out.
I'm definitely taking him ahead of you. Depends on who's on the board.
If you could do it. You could do it.
You know what's up. So Tony Gibson, Tony Gandy-Golden, lots of Tonys on the Redskins. Joining Terry, Tony, Triple T. This is going to be a thing. Is Triple T going to be a thing? Triple T.
I mean, they loaded up. They also have Kelvin Harmon, who they drafted last year. They got him late. He fell. They have a great young wide receiver core. They still have Trey Quinn on the roster. There's a lot of guys. It's got to be sorted out. That's why Antonio Gandy-Golden, he may not show well in rookie year. He's probably like already I'm calling him a buy low for 21, but Terry McLaurin looks like a star. Kelvin Harmon started coming on late last year, and Antonio Gibson, I mean, he's the jackknife. He only had about 33
Sims Jr. guy.
Oh yeah, Steve Sims, man. Woof. He came on heavy last year, but he projects as the slot guy. I think that he could be very productive. I mean, he won some people fantasy leagues. In best ball, he's my most heavily owned player, Steve Sims. Could you believe that? I looked the other day in 12 best balls, I own him in 11 leagues.
Getting him in like the 19th round.
Not anymore, though. Not anymore. I used to. Now he's creeping up to like the 13th now.
Yeah. But I mean, be careful with paying too much for that guy. But so here we go. Is this enough? Now they didn't add anything at running back. So let's what is the running back? We've got the guys coming back. Gets hurt a lot. You've got Antonio, you got AP, the corpse of him hanging around. What's going on? And what's going on with this running back situation?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. So let's go over their running back room real quick. We know 36-year-old Adrian Peterson's there. If he's on the team, he's going to get some carries. Darius Geis, you and I both have high hopes for. Now, it's nothing to do with performance. I mean, if Darius Geis is healthy, he's going to be a top 18 running back, right? I mean, he's probably even higher than that. It's just that he has not been able to stay healthy. Now we get into the nitty-gritty of their running back room. Antonio Gibson, who is, again, he's a wide receiver, he's a running back, he's both. I mean, he only had about 33 career carries in college. Not a lot, but what he did with them was just so good if you check out his tape. Then they got journeyman Peyton Barber on the team, who's just a complete buzzkill. And it's a crowded running back room with clear tier one talent. The biggest worry for Geis is that is Adrian Peterson. But also, let's remember, in the fourth round last year, they drafted Bryce Love. And Bryce Love was projected to be the number one running back in that class. But the year before he came out, decided to stay at school, tore his ACL, ended up going in the fourth round. So
I think Bryce Love is the backup plan that they have in place for
possibly.
I mean, that's really what they have going on.
He's another injury prone guy that was literally projected to be the RB1 in Tours ACL. I mean, if he's recovered, he's a home run, you know?
They're figuring if Geis can't do it, at least Love will be back. He should be full strength and he'll be our guy. And again, Peterson is who he is at this point. He's Frank Gore. He's a 3-yard grinder type. He does not have anything more to bring to the table than experience and just been pretty fucking durable, shockingly. But he's not the future. He can't catch passes. So it'd be interesting to see how that comes together. But I do think you can get Geis and Love really late in drafts. Geis very late, and then Love right at the end of even a best ball or very late in one. Back it up. Have those two guys on your best ball team. One of them should emerge as something useful. All right, let's move on to the Packers. Packers, desperate. All we need.
Can I interrupt you one more time, though? Just try, because you're crackling all over the place. Just turn that gain down, and then turn your mic up this way, like how I have it, and you'll sound like a super rock star. I'm telling you.
I really don't think it's going to do anything.
I'm hearing crackling. Hey, you guys that are listening, are you hearing crackling, or is it just in my headphones? You can answer us in the chat. Anyway, go ahead.
A little crackling in your brain.
Yeah, no, you're good now, man. You're good now. Go ahead.
All right, so let's talk about the Packers, a team desperate for wide receiver help, desperate for pass catchers. Got to help Aaron Rodgers out. He's coming towards the tail end of his career, 36 years old. It's time to make a run. What do? They trade up to get not CeeDee Lamb. No. But the lead. Must be Jerry Jeudy. Not Jerry Jeudy. No. All right. Did we get Ruggs? Nope. Not Ruggs. Who do we get? A fucking backup quarterback. What? That's right. So instead of helping out Aaron Rodgers, and then to make matters worse, in round two, there's still a lot of talent because it's the deepest wide receiver draft ever.
This was the one that was more puzzling to me, getting the running back in round two.
Ever. Great. Who's still on the board at number 62?
Oh, there was plenty of receivers. There was receivers into round three, man.
Lots of talent. Instead, they go for A.J. Dillon, a potential replacement for Aaron Jones. So basically, the Packers told their with these two picks, they got a future quarterback, a future running back. They basically told their actual team, we don't care that much about this year. We're drafting for the future, and we're drafting your replacements. Good luck this season. What the fuck is this? And if I'm a Packers fan, on a scale of I bet Packers fans fall into two categories. One category is like, I'm all about team and, well, it's building for the future, and this is wonderful. And long-term, we're going to love these moves. And then the short-term fan who wanted to win this year is like, what? Like, basically like a Jets fan right now, just angry. Right. Not knowing what the hell's going on.
Without even looking, do you know what the Packers' record was last year? Don't look.
I'm going to say 9-7.
Packers were 13-3 last year, dude.
See? I don't even remember.
No, I'm saying nobody does. I've asked that question. You know, they were the 2 seed heading into the playoffs.
That's right.
Like, you're not alone. Like, it wasn't a gotcha moment. Like, I've asked that question to about 10 people, like really smart guys like yourself, football people who pay attention. And people are like, oh, yeah, they were like 10-6, or were they didn't win 11. No, they're not, you know, they won 13 games last year. Like, they are an elite team in the NFC and didn't do anything to win now in a short window. It's puzzling, right? I mean, that's the reason I asked you that question, is because it even adds on to the more mind-boggling.
I do remember, yeah, the NFC was just weird. The Bears were so terrible, and you know,
that's
the
crazy,
Lions,
right?
Were so down last year, and you know, the Vikings just took losses. So the Vikings were good, but
the 49ers and the Packers, that's in the Saints. Those are the three teams. And
being shocked even at the time that they had the bye week. So that's right, man. Rona. But nonetheless, fucking Rona, man. It's got my mind scrambled.
No. Dude, you are not alone. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of people that it's totally forgot that they are like ready to win now, and that they
because
didn't.
It was a down year also for Aaron Rodgers and Aaron,
right.
Jones had such a great year. But What I mean, if you're a Packers,
right. So here you go. So what they did, what the Packers did though, was I'm very interested in Devin Funchess this year. He's going to be on a lot of my teams now. He played tight end in college, and he was drafted as a wide receiver. So the Packers let Jimmy Graham go. So I think that they're going to use him more as the inside, like the tight end pass catcher. And they believe in it. It's a 1-year deal. People were pretty hot on Devin Funchess heading into last season. Then he got hurt in the preseason. People were drafting him in like the 7th, 8th, 9th round on the Colts. Then he just got hurt and he didn't play. He's back. You know, Devin Funchess is only 25 years old, man. He's still, I mean, and he's going to presumably replace the Jimmy Graham stuff, which Jimmy Graham totally failed them. They didn't bring in any wide receivers. They have Alan Lazard. They have Enquimius St. Brown. They have Marquez Valdez-Scantling, your favorite.
Geronimo Allison.
No, he's gone. He was signed by Detroit, Geronimo Allison.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, if you have the running game, which obviously Matt LaFleur wants to run the hell out of the football, that's why he drafted A.J. Dillon as well, to be his Derrick Henry type of replacement. You have the good running backs there. I think Devin Funchess, man, if he can form any form of a bond or trust with Aaron Rodgers, I think we could be looking back saying, okay, this is the weird Devin Funchess year where he finished his wide receiver 14 on the year.
Here's the thing. We had this narrative with Funchess last year. He's finally escaping the inaccuracy of Cam Newton and going somewhere with a real quarterback. And you know, the whole Colts thing was just a disaster, obviously, you know, for many, many reasons. Just the lost season, injuries, and the whole deal. So it's really hard to go back to that narrative a year later. But this storyline is the same. He got hurt last year. Now he's finally with a quarterback who should be able to deliver the football with accuracy. Again, if you watch Cam Newton as a quarterback, accuracy is just not what he does. There's a reason why they kept drafting these gigantic tight ends and trying to make them wide receivers, because Newton overthrows every fucking pass and you need somebody who could jump up and catch his inaccurate throw. So that didn't work out for the position they wanted him to play, but maybe Aaron Rodgers is much more accurate. Aaron Rodgers is the master, really the master of the, you know, of the over the shoulder throw. Not what the fuck do they call it? The back shoulder pass.
Oh, the back shoulder throw. Right.
Yes. He's the master of it. And that's kind of a thing that you could see someone like Funchess excelling at. Just, you know, deep, you know, use your body, use your size, block out the defender. It's unstoppable in many ways. So we'll see if they could get that going, but it's speculative. I love him as one of the last picks in your best ball draft as well.
He's now in like the low teens. He's like a 12th round pick at this point, but worth it. And in your regular drafts, he's probably going to go later than that. In our dynasty startup, I just got him in like the 17th or 22nd round or something like that.
The very end, he was still floating around. No one liked his name because he just didn't do much. So should be an interesting play there. All right, I also think Jace Sternberger is an interesting prospect at tight end.
And they drafted a tight end too, you know.
Yeah, I know that. But Jace is somebody I think they're grooming to be the pass catching tight end. But, you know, Rodgers has never really produced well to the tight end position. So I don't think I want to.
Well, that's why Funchess excites me a little bit, because he's like filling the tight end role, but he's a wide receiver. Yeah, that's why I like him.
Slot. And again, we'll see how he meshes with Aaron Rodgers. There's no one else to throw to, though. All right, let's move on to the next team. Now, do we think that, before we move on, AJ Dillon, do we think he negatively affects Aaron Jones this year?
Yes, I do. Because I think that, you know, we already had Aaron Jones as a prime regression candidate. There's no way he could have scored 19 touchdowns. And I think AJ Dillon gets 3 or 4 goal line hits this year. AJ Dillon's like a 250-pound back that can run. And I think they'll give him a shot on the goal line. I mean, they obviously drafted him this year to be, you know, so when he, you know, they can get, by the time those other two running backs are on they're in free agency, at least they have someone that already has a year experience. I mean, again, I'm not saying that AJ Dillon's going to be a major part of the offense, but I could see a situation where he has 5 touchdowns. And how many rushing touchdowns are they going to get?
Mark this moment in the podcast, please, because I'm about to drop some fucking knowledge on you. Okay. This is going to be controversial. This is going to be something that is panned. This will probably get me hate mail. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't draft Aaron Jones this year. Let somebody else draft. I will not have him on any fucking team that I own. All right? Nothing. He will, because he's going way too high. The regression, the guy was only on the field 50%. He scored 19 touchdowns. He was only on the field 55% of the snaps last year. They still give it to Jamal Williams. Now they got another goal line type of back to steal some of those touchdowns back. Fucking Aaron Jones is going ahead of Kenyon Drake, who's going to have a full workload to himself. There's 3 or 4 other running backs that are going to have a full workload this year compared to Aaron Jones, who's going to be, again, a 50%, maybe no goal line touches. That is a risky play. That is ridiculous. He's not going to score 19 touchdowns again.
Where would you take Aaron Jones? Where would you draft him? Where is safe to draft Aaron Jones?
Where is it safe? You got a fucking draft board in front of me? I'm talking about like where ahead of David Johnson.
Yeah, okay. So you think like in the 4th, 5th round is where you would comfortably take
him. I'd probably have to think about him or like, I'd probably take him, Gurley or him, you know?
Right, okay, well, Gurley's moving on up now too. So Gurley's like in the second round now. So no, it's fair.
Miles Sanders is off the board. Kenyon Drake is off the board.
Yeah. Well, hold there. As you predicted early on in draft season, Kenyon Drake is now a first round pick. His ADP is 12 now.
Guess what? If you were fucking watching the bowl calls, you were getting him second, third round of your best bowl draft because no one liked him yet. So, yeah, Kenyon Drake moving up. I took Kenyon Drake over Aaron Jones. Smart. Every draft that I've had that opportunity to do so. I would take Miles Sanders ahead of Aaron Jones. This is a fool's gold play. because the reason I say I won't have any shares, it's not like there's no point where he'll drop to and I'll take him. That just won't happen. So there's people right. taking Aaron Jones middle of the second round. Don't be that person because you're going to get fucked.
I think somewhere in the third and you need a running back, it's okay. Like somewhere like in the middle of the third is fine.
Fine. He's got Eckler ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
I might take Melvin Gordon ahead of him.
That's very reasonable. I think that's the decision point that's right the there.
Decision point. Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
All right.
All so right. Move on.
Both balls right there. Yeah. Now, that's why I said mark that timestamp.
I got it. I got it marked.
All right. Let's move on to the.
After you yelled at me for taking Miles Sanders in an early dynasty, I did over Aaron Jones.
For me, I wanted him for me.
Oh, fair enough. Well played.
I'm allowed to be upset because I wanted him to drop. All right.
Well played.
Vikings. Love the Vikings. I don't know why I like the Vikings. I don't have any connection. I like Ziggy Wolf. I like him personally. I think he's a good guy. It's weird. Like, who the fuck else talks about the owner? You like the owner, so you like the team. I like Ziggy Wolf. I like Ziggy Wolf. I think he's a good guy. Good man. So, Vikings. They lose Stephon Diggs. Here comes the draft. We got Justin Jefferson. You're going to tell us about him. Momentarily. Offensive piece. There's no other offensive pieces in this draft. So we're going to stick with Justin Jefferson, the replacement Stephon Diggs. Room to start day one and produce. Could be the best situation of any wide receiver that went in the first round of the draft. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just scrolling through some of our chat for the people watching live here, and it appears that we got some Justin Jefferson love, and for good reason. I mean, Justin Jefferson played at LSU, played with Joe Burrow, and thrived with production. He had off-the-wall production. He's as pro-ready as they come. You know, it's actually a great fit in Minnesota. Some projected him to go to the Eagles. It would not have probably been as good as a fit in hindsight. Rager's probably a better fit there. But Justin Jefferson comes in ready to play with a role defined for him. Adam Thielen's still there, yes. But Justin Jefferson, like I said, he's young. He's produced already in a pro-style offense. I think he's going to be a rock-solid pro. Now, in fantasy rookie drafts, he's going like pick 12, pick 11, pick 14. And again, I don't ever think he has the upside geek to be like the wide receiver one or the top five. But I think when you draft Justin Jefferson in like a dynasty league, for example, he's probably going to finish as like wide receiver 15, like seven or eight times, like perfectly good, middle of the road.
Who is our comparison? I always like, it helps me visualize a player when you say, who is he like? What's his size? What's his speed? What's his skill set? What NFL player does he compare to?
So when you talk about Justin Jefferson, I'm just trying to think like who, like, okay, he is 6'1", 200 pounds. So, I mean, that has kind of been what modern day NFL receivers that can work the middle of the field basically measure up. That is like well within, I would say if I'm going back to like an old school comparison, think about the Packers wide receiver. Do you remember Greg Jennings? Yeah. I would say that's a good comp for Justin Jefferson. Greg Jennings, it was, you know, I mean, he had some wide receiver one finishes, but he was a guy you always took in like the end of round three in your fantasy drafts, and you were so happy to plug him in. Or if you went RB, RB, you were like, okay, fine, I'll have him as my wide receiver one. A guy that we can project for 90 receptions, 11 or 1,200 yards, and probably nine touchdowns in his peak of his season. But I think he's going to have a long career of doing that. Roddy White is a little, and it's a great comparison, but Roddy White's a little different because Roddy White was a receptions monster. Like Roddy White was one of those guys that was getting over 100 catches when 100 catches wasn't fashionable. So I like the comp from a skill set perspective, but I think more of the Greg Jennings where a little bit higher touchdowns and high receptions, just never that 100 reception guy. And again, I think that Roddy White, Greg Jennings, that's the type of player we're talking about. A route runner guy that's tough, knows how to get open, and is going to be a long-lasting pro.
This is the best of any wide receiver, I think, in terms of situation for season one with their team.
Absolutely.
That includes Ruggs, who plays kind of a strange role for his team.
We just don't understand Las Vegas. Like we just don't trust them. Whereas we trust the Vikings to be at least stable and sane.
We know they have a good offense. Listen, they're a run first offense. There's no doubt about that. But Thielen is who he is. He needs somebody next to him. And the replacement of Diggs, it's just a great, great situation for Jefferson. It helps the whole team, I believe, across the board. I don't know that it's a net positive for Kirk Cousins here. I just think it's a wash. But overall, I think it helps the Packers as a team.
I think it stabilizes Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Like, you know, because after...
We would have hated Kirk Cousins losing Diggs if he didn't...
Right. Like, for example, right, exactly. If they had got... Because they signed Tajay Sharp, and if that was their number two, I would have been off Cousins completely. At least in super flex leagues, you know that you get a stable QB2. And if you're playing punt the quarterback, you could pair Cousins with Ben Roethlisberger and a couple other guys at the end of your draft.
There we go. Let's keep going. NFC North, baby.
How many more we have to go?
Just a couple teams, man. We're on good track. We've got two teams left. So we're in great time shape here. We might fucking do the West. The South, fucking knock out the whole NFC.
Yeah, no. We got a two-part. Keep them wanting more.
Got to keep them waiting. All right. Chicago Bears, the league's best GM. The guy who passed up on stud after stud to take Mitch Trubisky.
Moved up to take Trubisky.
Because God
forbid. Ryan Pace, your boy.
God forbid Mahomes would have fallen to him. Or somebody, wait, who was in that draft? Was that Deshaun Watson?
Deshaun Watson, Mahomes. I mean, it's
brutal. We have a lot of Bears fans that watch. And just it like, you know what the GM said the other day? Quote, "We still believe in Mitch." Why?
Well, he made the pick. That's why.
Still believe in Mitch.
All right.
Fucking crazy. All right. So they did not have a first round pick. What did they do for that first round pick?
That was part of I can't believe it. They traded for the defensive player from the Raiders. I can't believe it.
Oh yeah.
Why is his name slipping my mind? I can't believe I forgot. He's one of the best. Okay.
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. Sorry. Oh my God. I can't believe.
Hang off. I'm talking here.
Yeah. So it was two first round picks. This was the other one. That's why they didn't get him.
So no help for offense at all in this draft for the Bears. They got wide receiver in round five.
I mean, I love Allen Robinson regardless of who's the quarterback is. He's proved over and over again that he can play with
draft effects, though. There was no help for the offense in this draft. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
The Bears offense doesn't need help, though, for what you just said. Allen Robinson, clear stud. One of the better and most underrated wide receivers in the National Football League right now. I know you're a big Anthony Miller fan.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally. And my question to you is, doesn't this team, like, isn't this the type of team that could have used Cam Newton? Instead, they go pay a fourth-round pick for Nick Foles.
How about Jameis Winston?
Any of them. It just feels like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think we need to talk about them too much since we were talking about the rookies and the rookie fallout and all that kind of stuff. So.
They need a quarterback. They got Nick Foles. They paid Nick Foles. Wait. They paid Nick Foles when Jameis Winston was out there for nothing.
Pretty much. They paid a fourth-round pick to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville should have paid them to take him away. Instead, they pay a fourth-round pick for a guy with a massive contract. This is some of the worst GMing. Chicago, call me, okay? When you want your team to stop sucking, call me. I will take over that fucking team, and we'll turn it around. That's how bad that guy is. That some
Where to go but up.
Sitting in his house, talking about football in his basement, is a better GM for the team than, what the fuck is his name? Tom Smith?
Ryan Pace.
Fucking Ryan Pace, man. I wipe that name off my brain all the time. Because now, I will say, though, I do like the Khalil Mack trade, but beyond that, and there's talent on the team. It's just, dude, how many mistakes can you make? You had free quarterbacks of it. Why are you trading?
No, it was bad. Let's move on.
He was such a failure in Jackson. Oh, whatever.
Next. All right.
Sorry, Bears fans. Sorry. You have a terrible GM. All right. Let's move on to the next team. Detroit Lions, NFC North. Matt Stafford made a bad back, dude. His back is no good. When your back starts to go, ask T-Rom. T-Rom, one of my favorite players in the NFL for many years. Not a Cowboys fan, just a Tony Romo fan. It was mostly because he dated Jessica Simpson and just I thought he was a pimp. But I also love the way that Tony Romo would stand in the face of pressure, deliver with accuracy, and take the hit, right? The problem was when you do that, you fuck your body up. So T-Rom, career ended too early. Matt Stafford, starting to have those back issues. Back issues, not something that goes away. My back hurts. It's been hurting me for like 7 years. It never went away. Like, is it my pillow? I don't fucking know. I changed my mattress. Same shit. It hurts. All right, you got back problems. It doesn't go away. So we're concerned about Matt. I'm concerned about Matt Stafford. There's no backup in plan in place over there. And looking at their draft here, they certainly didn't draft a backup plan that I can see. Another team that a Jameis Winston would have, or an Andy Dalton, or somebody in place would have been nice. Just like
the all these teams. Matt Stafford looked really good before the injury last year, and I agree with everything said. So if they feel he's healthy, then you know let's roll with him. They still have, I think, David Blau on the roster as the backup, who didn't look bad in one game. I mean, listen, it's the backup quarterback. A lot of teams aren't going to have a backup quarterback.
They're dead if he gets hurt.
But what they did do was take my number one overall running back, DeAndre Swift, early in the second round, which I like a lot. You know, I mean, I told you, and everyone's a little bit nervous about the landing spot with Kerryon Johnson there. But Kerryon Johnson said himself in the pre-draft process that he was better suited for a 12 to 14 touch role. And that is kind of where DeAndre Swift profiles as more of a, you know, 15 to 18 touch role. I think this is a really good pairing where both are going to be very productive. I like both running backs. Does this hurt the short-term stock of DeAndre Swift a little bit? Sure. In Dynasty, I'm still wheels up for him. I really like the talent and the skill set, and I think that both of these guys are going to play good football. And if Kerryon stays healthy, he's become a value in these drafts.
There's no room for two studs on one team.
Yeah, so but they're both going at prices that are...
Let's get that off the table right now. There's no room for two. Now, who's going to be the goal line back? Who gets the ball at the one for the free touchdown?
I mean, they still have Bo Scarborough, who's an effective hammer on the 1 yard line. So that, I mean, who knows? It could be, he could get a few touchdowns himself and be in that LeGarrette Blount role.
It is disgusting at running back. Some teams simply cannot produce via the running back position due to scheme or coaching issues. And I believe the Detroit Lions, I told you last year. Now, I'm not going to pat myself on the back because Kerryon Johnson got hurt. But I told you very specifically in the bold calls, much like you heard my rant earlier about Aaron Jones, I said, don't draft Kerryon Johnson. Let someone else take him. Now, I didn't do that because I knew he was going to get hurt. I wish I was. I'd be fucking Nostradamus. You pay me a lot more money, I'll give you stock market predictions. But no. The reason I said it was because that team does not produce fantasy points to the running back position. And every time they hype a running back, you get fucked. So I'm not going to get fucked. Let somebody else get fucked. I do the fucking. I don't like to get fucked. So, therefore, let somebody else draft DeAndre Swift. Same problem. I love the guy. I love his talent. Probably best talented running back in the draft going in. Doesn't matter. Number one, he wasn't taken first. So NFL evaluators did not see him as the best player at the position. And secondly, he's in a very, very tough situation. Now, if Kerryon Johnson becomes an afterthought, Amir Abdullah style.
No. He's too good for that. I mean, you saw when he played, he looked like a star, Kerryon Johnson.
But yet they still brought in Fat Joe the Scarborough at the goal line, or Zach Zenner, or some other fat shit to smash the touchdown. And the coach says, that's what I do. I don't care. I'm going to bring in a fat ass on the 1 yard line to smash it in the goal. And that's how I play. Absolutely. And I don't give a fuck what you say, fantasy football geek. I don't care. That's what he said to me. And, you know, I find it insulting personally. Now, all of that said, God loves me some Kenny Golladay, Kenny G. That's my dude. And, you know, Marvin Jones is still there. So he's fine. You can get him so late. Everybody forgets about Marvin Jones Jr. No one even knows.
He's still on the
team? Yes.
They forget about Marvin Jones, who's still, you know, who could play football. He's, you know, I mean, he's one of those guys that gets you four touchdowns in one game sometime. I mean, he's got some serious upside. And then, of course, Kenny Golladay has turned into a real number one wide receiver in the NFL. So let's not spend too much time as we're going to be rookie focused. But the short takeaway is I think there's a lot of fantasy gold on here, despite the problems that we've just outlined.
Yeah, I would just avoid the running back situation because it's just not going to be good, even for Swift long term in Dynasty. I think there are big touchdown equity question marks around the way that the Lions use the running.
Would you rather have Swift or Cam Akers in Dynasty?
I think it's Akers, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going Swift, but I'm not going to argue with you there. Go ahead.
He's going to be in a much better situation. What are you going to do?
Let's keep it moving.
This is the last team. Don't worry about it. We got 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
We're on the last team. We're good. We can yammer on.
Okay.
I got a couple more. That's right.
Yeah. Just keep it moving.
That was it for the NFC North. That does it. As far as now, we're up to the Saints. That's it. That does it for the NFC North. We did the Lions. We did the Bears. We did the Vikings. We did the Packers. Got the whole NFC North out of the way. The NFC East out of the way.
That's cool. All right. So that's a podcast. Let's wrap here, and then we'll come back tomorrow, the next day, and we'll do the rest of the NFC.
We will cover the rest of the NFC. Here's the deal, everyone. What did we learn today? Don't draft Aaron Jones. Don't draft Jay Swizzles, Jonathan Swift. Do draft. Who is the wide receiver from the Vikings?
You want Justin Jefferson.
We like Justin Jefferson. Redraft this year. Lots of best ball goodness.
You and I disagree on DeAndre Swift.
We disagree. And, of course, the entire Giants offense, give them a boost. It will be a good year for Giants offense. Boosted even more by the fact that that team's defense is terrible. So they'll always be in higher scoring games. That's what
We've learned that Dak is the QB3 overall.
Dak is the QB3 overall, and we love Danny Dimes as a top 10 quarterback.
For sure, top 10, and there's room to move up.
Really great stuff. Again, we are doing this all off season. We are rolling it into the season. We're going through the draft. Next up, we'll talk about your actual dynasty rookie draft. And of course, from there, we're going to get into our best ball coverage. There are places to play best ball. We loved draft last year and the year before that. I miss it. I don't believe it will be back, so we're going to have to deal with some of these other sites, and we're looking into a few of them that host best ball leagues. MFL is one of them. There's some other ones floating around. I'm still vetting whether I think they're recommendable or not based on, I like to do a little digging and just make sure that our money's safe. So there's a couple of sites.
Hey, can you still hear me, by the way, right?
I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Yeah, because my thing froze. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to turn it off. So keep talking until I figure this out.
Don't worry, you figure that out. And for those of you listening at home, I hope you enjoyed the new intro. That was awesome. Says, well done. Make sure to like and subscribe to this channel wherever you're listening to us right now. That's how we know that you're watching this. That's how that we know that you're listening to these podcasts, these breakdowns. And that's how you get notified when we do the next one. So our fantasy football video content, it's always free. You just have to like and subscribe. We'll do Q&A. We'll have Stardom Sit'em stuff. Make sure you've got that going. And if you want to get our full blast rankings, go to dfsarmy.com. We cover everything at DFS Army, of course, Daily Fantasy Sports Specialist. We've got Korean baseball going right now. We've got League of Legends, esports, Call of Duty, esports. We've got MMA, three cards in the next week. We've got it full covered with our optimizer projections, breakdowns, the sharpest analysts in the world. NASCAR coming back next week. We are known for our NASCAR coverage, optimizer, projections, cheat sheet from pros, everything you need to be awesome at Daily Fantasy Sports. Go to dfsarmy.com, sign up as a VIP that gets all sports covered. The price of VIP is going up massively when the sports come back. A lot of reason is because we've added about 7 different sports that we now have to cover, and shit, it's expensive to cover all those sports. So we're now jacking up the price of VIP for new people, but only once other sports come back. For now, you can use promo code GEEK and you can get dfsarmy.com VIP membership for $39.99 a month. You lock in for as long as you stick around. You've got every single sport, including your season long and your daily sport, all in one, plus the greatest fantasy community you're ever going to see. So make sure to sign up as a VIP, dfsarmy.com. And of course, you could see season long says in there in our Slack chat. And since I'm continuing to go with this, as says is in here, I'll also talk about sportsbetarmy.com. If you're a sports gambler, go to
sportsbetarmy.com.
There he is.
Yeah, I'm on a different computer because everything got all screwed up. So
left the studio. There it is. That's like the real.
You know, the age of the Rona broadcasting, man. That's how it goes. So go to sportsbetarmy.com as well. Use promo code SEZ, S-E-Z. Get 20% off of that. That's a betting service, betting models, and advice from some of the sharpest betting pros in the industry. Sportsbetarmy.com. There we go. We will see you next time for season-long SEZ and myself. You can check out our Twitter at Alan Seslowski and myself at FFootballGeek. And of course, like and subscribe to all this channel where you're listening to this so you can get us again. Take care, everyone. We'll see you.
In 2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn dope into DFS pros.